What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Wednesday, October 16th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And well, today we kick off Giants week, a game that I think fans should actually feel pretty confident about. I know coming off of the game against the Browns and somewhat inconsistent play all season, it's hard to feel super confident, but we'll talk about it throughout the week, but I feel pretty confident about this game for the Eagles. So today kicks off beating Eagles of Giants week. As I said, the return of Saquon to New York. I'm sure it'll be exciting to hear what he has to say about that. But as a result, the Eagles are back at the facility today for the first time, at least in a formal practice setting since Sunday. Obviously, the players have been there Monday and Tuesday, you know, meeting with coaches, doing all those things. But today is the day everything kicks off. So going to be a jam-packed Go Birds Daily for you today. We got the schedule. We have an injury update. We have a team signing. We have a game being flexed. And then all the coordinators talked on Tuesday, and all three had some interesting things to say. Plus, Jordan Mailata was on 94WIP, so I want to play for you guys what he said there. So, without much further ado, let's get into it. So, what should you be on the lookout for today? So, like I said, the Eagles are back at the NovaCare Complex today. Nick Sirianni, everybody's favorite head coach, will be speaking at 12 o'clock. So, look out for that being, I would guess, played live on WIP, but also obviously tweets and all the updates from there. So Nick Sirianni at 12 o'clock. At 2:10, the locker room opens. Probably hear from Saquon then, I would imagine, about returning to play against the Giants and returning to New York. 3:05, practice begins. That'll give us a look at if Darius Slay is out there. I don't expect, obviously, Mailata or Dallas Goedert to be out there, but we'll see if there's any other players maybe picked up a nick or a bruise. Is that the expression? That might have picked up a small injury in that Browns game. So we'll see who is injured and who practices at 3 o'clock. And then 4:45, Jalen Hurts speaks. Always good to hear from the franchise quarterback. So that's the schedule for the day. Nick Sirianni at 12, open locker room at 12:10, 3:05 practice begins, and then 4:45, Jalen Hurts speaks to the team. As far as the injury report, obviously we don't know much more since that game on Sunday and since Nick talked on Monday. Jordan Mailata still going to be out a couple weeks. And actually, I'll let you hear from Mailata now. So Mailata talked on 94WIP about the injury, how he's feeling. Here's what Mailata had to say.
What's up, big man? How you feeling?
A little sore, a little tender.
So yeah, listen. I don't know what the exact extent of your injury is.
Right.
I wouldn't ask you to disclose it, but are you looking at a long time being away, or you're trying to get back here as soon as possible?
Man, you know I'm always gonna want to come back as fast as I can and as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. What I can say is, you know, it's a hammy injury and gonna miss a couple games, and yeah, it's really my first hamstring injury. I don't really know. I'm just trusting, you know, the team right now and whatever the direction that we go forward with.
Well, let me just say this: it speaks to your athleticism. I mean, big men don't usually get hamstring injuries, man. I'm just saying, like, for you to have a hamstring injury, that shows how athletic you are.
Mate, you saw me moving on that blocked field goal. You know, you saw me moving now, 18.3 miles per hour. I was moving.
Well, you know, one more question to that. So I have, you know, I had hip surgery a year ago, and when I'm trying to get around the house, you know, I'm 150 pounds. My wife can help me. You are a big person, man. So who is helping you around the house when you're having trouble walking?
The walking's gotten a lot better.
Okay.
Let me say that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but my wife is helping me with my pacing.
Okay.
I'm taking too big of a step. You know, taking my time getting around.
I was gonna say, yeah, she gotta be strong, man. She gotta lift some weights.
Mm-hmm. Too strong, man. Yeah. Too strong.
So, well, good luck, and you know the team is not in the same without you out there. So we're wishing you the best.
Speedy recovery,
brother. Speedy recovery.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so my lot of being out a couple games or a few weeks is going to be a big deal. He's obviously a fantastic player. Replacing him won't be easy. He did say later on that he thinks Fred Johnson is a natural left tackle, so maybe, you know, he'll play better at left tackle than he did when he stepped in for Lane at right tackle. And yeah, I just think it's when you're someone of my lot of size, it is hard to be off your feet and not in football shape for a few weeks. So at this point, I think anything they get from him will be a positive, because I think coming back from that injury is going to be hard. Darius Slay, there was a report that he's considered day to day. So that is an update. I believe that was via the NFL Network. We'll see. We'll see if he is out there on Wednesday for practice. And then Dallas Goedert, we'll see if he's out there, but I don't anticipate him being out there. My guess is he will miss a couple of games as well. So, in more Eagles news, there was a signing. They signed cornerback Perry Nickerson to the practice squad. He, of course, was with the team in training camp. You know, probably just good depth to have there just in case there is an injury. So I wouldn't read too much into that other than they just wanted him for depth. The other piece of news, which I'm going to talk about more in depth later on in this pod, the Eagles game against the Cincinnati Bengals, not this week, but the following week, was originally slated to be played at 4:30. It is moved to 1:00. In its place, the Chicago Bears and Washington Commanders are in the 4:30 window. So you understand why, to an extent. I mean, it is it's Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams versus each other, the number one and number two pick. And, you know, obviously two teams that are competing in the NFC. So we'll talk about that a little bit and kind of what that means and what Jeffrey Lurie might think about that. The other piece of interesting Eagles news that came out on Tuesday was a report from Josina Anderson. Obviously, Hassan Reddick has a new agent. He's now represented by Drew Rosenhaus. And as part of that, he has been given permission to seek a trade. And obviously, the Eagles, having been the team that traded Hassan Reddick to the Jets, there's conditions on that pick. It's a 2026 third-round pick. If Hassan Reddick were to play for the team, the Jets, this year, and get 10.5 sacks and play a certain amount of snaps, then that 2026 pick turns from a third-round pick into a second-round pick. What Josina Anderson is reporting, that if Hassan Reddick is traded to an NFC team, so if, like, say, the Detroit Lions, that 2026 third-round pick becomes a 2026 second-round pick. So if you're an Eagles fan, which I'm sure you are if you're listening to this, or if you're Howie Roseman or anybody in the front office, you are hoping that Hassan Reddick gets traded to an NFC team, because that obviously turns it into a 2026 second-round pick. You could also argue that you're hoping he gets cut and maybe then the Eagles could sign him. But as of now, you have to hope he doesn't get traded to an AFC team. And the good news is a lot of the teams that I think could trade for him are in the NFC. Detroit, Atlanta, San Francisco potentially, which would be funny considering his history with them. I would definitely keep an eye out for him. Excuse me. Ending up on an NFC team, and I think Howie has to feel good about the chances that becomes a 2026 second round pick. So that's kind of all the news, injury update, schedule, practice, all those things that you need to know heading into your day. Now let's talk about what happened at the NovaCare Complex on Tuesday. All the three coordinators spoke: Kellen Moore, Vic Fangio, Michael Clay, and all of them had somewhat pressing questions to answer. I feel like in past years, there hasn't been, I'm sorry for yawning, I apologize, it's hard to get out. In past years, there has been not super pressing questions for the coordinators. This year, I don't think that's been the case. I think each week there has been interesting things for them to talk about. So Kellen Moore, we'll start on the important side of the ball. Kellen Moore was asked about Jalen Hurts playing under center and why he's not playing under as much. And here is what he had to say.
I think there's an element of game plan and flow with that. Obviously, there's times where under center can be very advantageous for us. Again, trying to put ourselves in the best position to be successful as far as an offense. And obviously with Jalen's ability to run, there is some components to being in the gun and the pistol that kind of keep that threat alive in some of those cases. But obviously something that we put some time and effort into this offseason to utilize, and we'll continue to find different spaces to do that.
So I thought Kellen Moore's answer on it was interesting. Now, here's the truth. They're not putting Jalen Hurts under center because he doesn't want to do it, or they don't think he's as good at it. That's just the flat out truth. That is why Jalen Hurts doesn't play under center. But the other reason, and I thought this was an interesting one, is he can be more of a run threat from the shotgun, right? If he's under center, it's harder to get the running plays from there. But if he's in the shotgun, obviously it's easier to do RPO stuff. It's easier to get him on the move from there. So I think that is an interesting angle to it that I hadn't ever really heard them talk about. But ultimately, I think Jalen Hurts is not under center because he doesn't want to be under center, or they don't think he's as good at it. It's like when everybody says, why does it look like a Kellen Moore offense? It doesn't look like a Kellen Moore offense because Kellen Moore doesn't have the quarterbacks that he's had before, just in terms of what the strength of each quarterback is. It doesn't mean Dak is a better quarterback than Jalen, or that the other quarterbacks Kellen Moore has worked with can do are better quarterbacks than Jalen. It's just about what Jalen's strengths are and what they feel works best for him. So when we talk about a Kellen Moore offense, why he's not throwing it over the middle, why he's not doing as much motion, why he's not under center, I think it's just what they feel works best for Jalen. I don't think it's Nick Sirianni is forcing Kellen and Jalen to do things they don't want to do. I think it's what Kellen Moore, with Nick involved, feels is best for Jalen Hurts and for the offense. So, moving on from Kellen Moore, Vic Fangio was also asked in a weird roundabout way, not about the offense, but about Nick. Obviously, Nick said after the game against the Browns that he called a play on the defensive side of the ball, said it didn't work. Vic Fangio was asked about that today, and here is that exchange.
It wasn't a defensive call. It was just a situation thing to where he just said, hey, be alert for this. It wasn't, he didn't call it defense.
So what was the situation then that he...
It was just when they had the ball near midfield and, you know, it was third and long. He said, hey, be alert that they may check it down or something. You know, they're trying to get in field goal range.
So I believe Vic when it comes to this. Vic has been brutally honest with every answer. He doesn't really hold back. So I think that when Nick said he called a play, I think he was more so saying, I chimed in, like I gave advice to Vic Fangio on defense on what I think he should have done. You know, and I believe it was EJ Smith. So shout out to EJ Smith that found the play. You know, I think it was 3rd and 14, and it sounds like Nick maybe thought they were gonna check the ball down based off what prior, based off like the prior tendencies they'd shown. So maybe he told Vic to do one thing. Vic sounds like, you know, he called it inconsequential, which I thought was pretty interesting. But the overall take is, because later on in the press conference, Vic Fangio said that Nick Sirianni is no more involved than any other head coach he's worked with. And I think that's true. Like, if you're the head coach, I know we say, like, Vic calls the defense and Kellen calls the offense. Nick is involved in all this. He's in all the meetings. He hears on Sunday what's going on. He chimes in with advice. And I'm sure there are more times he, quote unquote, overrules Kellen or, like, really has a strong take on what to do on offense. I think on defense, it is mostly, hey, Vic, they've been doing this in this case. I would do this, right? So I don't think, like, the Nick calling on plays on defense thing is a big deal to me. I know the people that don't like Nick are going to feel like it is, but based off what Vic had to say on Tuesday, I really don't think you have to worry about Nick calling defensive plays or anything like that. And finally, from the coordinators, Michael Clay was asked about the block punt. Obviously, that was brought back for a touchdown on Sunday, and here's what he had to say.
Obviously, when you have someone of a special caliber talent as Myles Garrett, you got to be hyper aware where he's going to be rushing at. I know he's been rushing on the outside, over the tackle, at the wing, and at the guard. So there is some coaching points. You know, we like to get, you know, rise with power is what we say. You know, after you get that first bump, you want to rise, and maybe you could clip a leg of his, and he falls down or he comes unbalanced and he can't get there. And a lot of times we saw the Seattle Giants game where, you know, there's a little bit of a loophole in there where you could press down on the guy without pulling him out. But again, it's just us kind of sinking to our details of like, hey, we got to understand situationally, longer field goal is deeper, end of half. What do they really have to lose? And knowing of someone of that caliber that Myles Garrett is, he may take a shot to try and jump over you, and we just want to rise power, clip a leg. If he falls on you, you get the 15-yard penalty. If we make it or miss it, we take the extra 15. But again, it just comes to our details and myself just understanding and telling these guys in what situation, hey, this is a possibility that can happen with a guy like Myles Garrett or anybody of that nature.
Yeah, I think it's a fair assessment. Myles Garrett, really, really good player. Now, he did say, you know, you have to be prepared for that. It is a look they had shown. And I normally think that when a good play, like if there's a great throw and a great catch, you tip it up to, all right, maybe it was good coverage, but it was a better throw and a better catch. I think in this case, you almost have to say, that's not really on the special teams unit. Obviously, they have to do a better job preventing those things from happening, and there have been a few plays this year they've let up. But at the end of the day, you got to just tip your cap to Myles Garrett and say that was an outstanding play. Finally, Jordan Mailata, as we played earlier, was on the afternoon show on Sports Radio 94 WIP, and he was asked about Nick Sirianni, and I thought his answer on Nick was pretty good. And I believe it was Spike that led him into this, but basically saying like Nick is the most Philadelphia head coach that, you know, the Eagles ever have, and obviously it's something I've said. But here's what Jordan Mailata had to say when asked about that and prompted with that kind of comparison.
The irony about the criticism of Nick is that he is probably more like Philadelphia fans than any coach that has ever coached here. So I think sometimes we see ourselves in him, you know?
Yeah. Man, he means well. That's the thing. He means well. And like you just said, I think he's more Philadelphian than people expect him to be. He's just embraced the city. He's embraced the fan base. Man, like, I love the guy, man. So I know it's some fans and some of the guys in the media don't like it, but man, that's just him, and you know, we got his back.
The thing that really caught my attention in Jordan's answer there was the he means well. And I know that all coaches mean well. If you make a play call, you think it's gonna work. But I just think it's such a good way to describe Nick. Like, I think the emotion stuff, like all that, I really think it comes from a good place, and I think it comes from a place that Eagles fans should appreciate. It doesn't mean you have to think he's a great head coach. It doesn't mean he should keep his job. It doesn't mean that if the team keeps playing this way, he shouldn't be fired. But I do think it means you shouldn't hate the guy. I just do. And maybe it's a hill I'll die on. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that that Nick means well. I think he's done a good job for the most part. He has to fix the team. They haven't played well in a while, and that is something he has to fix. But you can truly tell that the guys on the team really like him, and I think fans should too. Because, hey, isn't it just better when you like the guys you root for, right? But no, he has to do a better job. I just thought Mailata's answer on that was an interesting one. All right. On the other side, we're going to get into the other piece of news of the day, the Eagles being flexed from 4:30 to 1 o'clock, and why I think that is maybe a bad sign for Nick Sirianni. And that is on the other side once we hear a word from our beautiful sponsors. Okay, so as I said at the beginning of the pod, the Eagles game against the Cincinnati Bengals has been flexed from 4:30 to 1 o'clock. Now, part of that is the opponent, obviously. The Bengals don't have a good record. The Eagles, not an outstanding record. Like, these are not 2-4-1 teams. If they were 2-4-1 teams, that game wouldn't get flexed. But what I think is interesting about this is, and I'll bring you back to the end of the Andy Reid era. I just started to cover the team. I think I'd been to Lehigh maybe twice, but I remember specifically sitting in a game at the Link against the Arizona Cardinals, where I think the Eagles got blown out in that game, and how ugly it was and how mad people were. And I remember someone at the time saying to me, that is what Jeffrey Lurie is going to care about when it comes to firing Andy. What I think is noteworthy about this game being flexed, combined with what happened on Sunday, is Jeffrey Lurie is aware of what people are saying, right? Like, he has a PR staff that informs him of things. Like, he's involved. He's in Philadelphia. But he's not listening to WIP all the time. I would be very surprised if Jeffrey Lurie had, like, a burner Twitter account. He probably reads the paper for sure, so he is seeing some of it, right? But what Jeffrey Lurie definitely sees is every week he is at the Link, he sees what that home crowd is like. He sees what the mood is. He sees all those things. And if the Eagles keep getting flexed out of games, like the Cincinnati one isn't the end of the world. 4:30 to 1 o'clock, not a huge deal. But the Jaguars game coming up, primetime game. They're retiring LeSean McCoy's number, I believe. Are they at least? No, they're putting him into the Eagles Hall of Fame, and it's a primetime Kelly Green game. Keep an eye on that game getting flexed. If the Eagles go 1-1, or they lose to the Giants next week, or they go 1-1 over the next two, and the Eagles and Jaguars get flexed out of primetime, and it's ugly at the Link, and people are yelling at Nick, and like things aren't going well for the team, I think that could end up really mattering whether Nick Sirianni keeps his job. Obviously, a lot of things go into whether he keeps his job. The job that Lurie thinks Sirianni's doing, how people feel about him in the building, you know, how he's working with Howie, all those things. But one thing that'll also really impact it is if it's ugly in the stadium and the Eagles are starting to become a team flexed out of prime time. Like, I know that the Bengals don't have a good record, and I know the Jaguars almost definitely won't have a good record, I mean, for sure, by the time that game happens. But you don't see the Eagles flexed out of primetime games very often. Like, they're still the Philadelphia Eagles. It's still a huge media market. It's a massive fan base. It's one of the biggest franchises in the league. Even though they're going up against bad teams, you still flexing the Eagles out is, that's something. Like, that says something. If the Eagles, I think, were 5-0 right now, I don't think that game against the Bengals is getting flexed out. If the Eagles are 6-1 heading into that Jaguars game, and I know it'll get flexed before that, but I don't think that gets flexed out. If they start to become a team that the network isn't dying to show, and that the fan, it's ugly in the stadium, and instead of playing primetime games between two contenders, they're playing 1 o'clock games against two teams with bad records that are considered disappointments, that's going to matter to Jeffrey. That is. And so when it comes to Nick keeping his job, and Howie to an extent, although I think we all agree Howie probably not on the hot seat, but I think that when it comes to things like that, it really matters to Jeffrey. And I think, again, back to 2012, at the end of the Andy era, it was ugly in that stadium, and they were playing 1 o'clock games, and they were getting blown out. And I remember empty seats, you know, because even though, like, the stadium still, quote unquote, sold out, like, people weren't going because there was a lack of interest, and people weren't buying tickets because they were 4-whatever they were in Andy's final year, and people were upset about it. So that is something I would keep an eye on. If they keep getting flexed out of these primetime spots, that is going to impact whether or not Jeffrey feels he can run it back with this same, you know, Howie, Nick, and Jalen. I think that'll definitely impact things. So thank you to everybody for listening. Means the world to me, as I always say, that you guys choose to start your day with Go Birds Daily. I know it means a lot to James as well. So as we always say to end every episode, he's Elliot, I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later.